Greetings, saints. Many, 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 many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We appreciate you so much. Father, bless us today. Bless us in the Word. Bless us in exhortation and in faith and in warnings of the things to come. And thank you for granting repentance and leading us in the steps of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk about the benefits of the bride today, because God has sent us quite a few wonderful revelations that fit together here. This first one was given to Debbie Horton on September 27th, this 2019. She said, in this dream, Willard and I were in line at an airport, waiting to go through the TSA check. I had a large pocketbook and opened it to show Willard that all I was bringing with me was a large cluster of beautiful green grapes. And she put representing the fruit of the Spirit. Yes. And that's in Galatians 5. 22 through 25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and against such there is no law. You see that? There's no curse on them, right? 24, and they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. If we live by the Spirit, by the Spirit, let us also walk. Amen. Amen. And I believe Deb here represents the bride who, because of her fruit of Christ, is qualified to mount up to heavenly places in Christ, signified by getting on an airplane. Ephesians 1, 2 through 5 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So if you abide in Christ, you are in heavenly places and you have every spiritual blessing available to you, is what this is saying. Verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. That's actually a good description of the manifestation of the bride. What we have by faith will be manifested by those who walk by faith in it, right? Having foreordained us unto the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good will of his will. Good pleasure of his will, excuse me. And Colossians 3 and 1 says, If then you were raised together with Christ, which is faith by faith already done, right? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. So we're to seek the above, like the bride is getting on this plane to sail into heavenly places, right? And Revelation 3 and 21, he that overcometh will I give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Wow, so here's the man-child Jesus, and those that overcome sit down with him in his throne. Chapter 3 is also the place of the Philadelphia church, the church of brotherly love. So there, and they were overcomers, right? And I believe they represented the bride. And so the bride, like Esther, rules from the king's throne to destroy the beast and save her people. The bride is the bride because of her fruit. Here she is receiving her wings. In other words, taking flight into the heavenlies, right? And if you do a little search, you'll discover that receiving one's wings is a saying used when one is about to go to heaven. or to a pilot who gets a license to fly, or to a stewardess who graduated to serve on a plane. So all of this actually pretty well describes the bride, doesn't it? Praise God. Very interesting. But God gives parables in the way he gives interpretation. I told the TSA agent that I was bringing the grapes as carry-on because I didn't want to put them in a suitcase and check them since they might be damaged. And she puts in parenthesis, I was not letting go of the fruit. And my thought was, or trusting it to someone else by putting it as baggage, right? Obviously not. It's very important. It's something that is personal and you must carry it with you everywhere. It's a carry-on for sure. Of course, that made perfect sense in the dream, she says. When we were the next in line, I showed my open pocketbook with the grapes and my boarding pass to the TSA agent. And she puts representing angels. And I do believe that too, that that's what they represent here. They were running the X-ray machine. Well, we know that nothing is hidden from God. If we pass his X-ray vision, we are clean and overcomers. Overcoming this world, which is represented by flying above it, right? Amen. So the bride's getting ready to fly above it. She has the fruit, so she has the license. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 says, wherefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall each man have his praise from God. So there are many things hidden from people who only see from the outside. And a lot of these people like to judge, but they don't really know what's going on. They don't know what God's told you. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know why God's brought you there. They don't know. And so they really don't have a right to judge. Only God can judge. And he can speak through people to judge. But it's got to be him, right? And it's got to be according to the word. In Hebrews 4 and 13, and there is no creature that is not manifest in his sight. In other words, he got good X-ray vision. But all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Yes, he sees it all. You know, a lot of people live like they're only here to impress men because they do things in order to get the right actions or reactions out of men. But they don't care about God who sees everything they do. They don't really have a conscience towards God. I found that with the faction. It has just totally destroyed their conscience. They had no conscience towards God. And they did anything they could behind the scenes, anything, and break every law of God and man. So, she immediately became excited and called some other agents to come help her process us. They rushed around getting various legal papers printed out with legal-looking embossed seals on them. And we know the bride is sealed by the Spirit to that place of purity, right? Thank you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus. And everybody who is pure, because they have faith that he took away their sins and delivered them out of the power of darkness, and that all their prayers will be answered if they believe they have received, they are walked by faith and are accounted righteous. Amen. Then they brought the packet over to our TSA lady, who took the packet of documents and showed them to me. Apparently, I was an ambassador of some sort. Well, we know that the bride is qualified as an ambassador for Christ. She is sent to the world to represent him and his kingdom, much like the first fruits early disciples were sent out by the man-child Jesus to completely represent him. They called them Christians because they were like him, Christ-like. Right? So you can't blame much of Christianity for that today, because they're not Christ-like. They're not copying him. They're copying their religions. And it's very, very obvious. And this is one reason that they won't be first fruits on that airplane, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20 says, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new." Now, this is a word of faith, and it's something we should speak, and we should accept that we are new creatures in Christ. That's a word of faith. It's not manifestation, but it's a word of faith. If you keep walking in that faith, you will manifest that new person. "But all things are of God, who reconciled unto us, us unto himself through Christ, and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation." Reconciliation means an exchange of Christ's life for your life. When we preach faith to people, this is what we're doing. We're exchanging their old life for Christ's life, because the gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. So when we give them the gospel, this exchange is starting to take place, right? And if they walk by faith, it'll continue to take place until they are Christian, meaning Christ-like. Right? 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, because he's the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world." This is the good news, the gospel. "And having committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You know, there are people that keep on judging, and they don't know where you are in Christ, because you may be walking by faith, but they're judging by sight, and that's illegal. And when they judge, they get judged. "We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ." There it is. So they called her an ambassador. They call the bride an ambassador on behalf of Christ. That's one who represents Christ wherever they go. Not themselves, Christ. "As though God were entreating by us." There it is. "We beseech you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." So when you preach the good news, it's the good news. It's the power of God unto salvation, right? When you preach the good news to people and they get faith, they can walk away from their sins. That's the great thing about it. Some people are out there preaching the bad news, all the time. "Then the lady, who was very deferential, began to explain all the privileges and benefits, seating upgrades, meal upgrades, etc., to which I was entitled." And she puts, Deb puts, "and forget not all his benefits." So now we discover that this bride who has lots of fruit has all these benefits. Whoa. Well, that's not strange to us who understand that the bride is not the church, but is taken out of the church, as in every parable in the Old Testament. You know, Esther, Song of Solomon, Psalm 45, on and on. All the parables point this out, especially Isaiah. He points this out. So, anyway, I believe this speaks of the bride who is an overcomer with a clean heart and life. She is being granted first-class status to be seated in heavenly places in Christ. And if you've flown on a plane, you know what first class is. It's a privileged place. Ephesians 2, 4-7. "But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. And raised us up and with him and made us to sit with him in heavenly places. To sit with him in heavenly places, which is where? In Christ Jesus. We abide in him by faith, and we abide in him by obedience to his word. If you have faith, you will have obedience. If you continue to hold to your faith, you will have the obedience. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are privileged. We can be first class, flying with the Lord in first class, overcoming the world in first class, right? First class, like the first fruits, get to board first and be seated first. Is this not true in history? Yeah. Jesus' first fruits disciples were trained by him to live in heavenly places by abiding in him. And those first fruits disciples were called the bride by John the Baptist, saying, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And they, in turn, were sent out to give their wings to, okay, give their wings to those who followed later. That's right. So when they got their wings, they were able to pass them on to those after them, right? To teach them to live in heavenly places by abiding in Jesus and his word. And they taught the church, who is the woman in the book of Revelation, who escapes the dragon / serpent beast in Revelation 12 and 14. And there was given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And of course, the woman is nourished by the man child who was caught up to the throne, and given that dominion and authority in order to, help the woman in the wilderness, right? And what did Jesus do as the man child? Because all things are according to pattern. He raised up the first fruits disciples to, as a bride, rule over them and lead them to Christ-likeness. Like Jesus sent out his disciples to do just that, didn't he? So, before this woman got her wings, the bride got her wings. Before the bride got her wings, the man-child got his wings. See, that's the way it works. So like first class, the bride is seated first in the front of the plane. Only one is in front of them, and that's the man-child, Jesus, and Jesus in the man-child of our day, who received, who I received, is flying the plane. The Lord spoke that to me as I was reading this. And it makes perfect sense. He is the leader. He led the bride. The bride was ahead of the second class, right? And these meal upgrades represent that they will eat better than second class. And, of course, they do. And this is true because of their fruit of sowing a better seed in more fertile ground. Because what you sow, you're going to reap, right? And because of their foundation of truth that they are able to receive the deeper revelations and walk in them. Another upgrade mentioned there is they receive wine, not mentioned there, but it's they receive wine or champagne in first class quite often. Rather than the canned drinks that second class gets. And Jesus showed us the wine represents his blood, which represents his nature. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And we know, we can see from this that each is in his own order, right? Man, child, the bride, the woman, and the bride comes out of the woman as a first fruits of the woman. And the man child is a first fruits of the bride, which comes out of the woman. So it's each in his own order, right? So hopefully all of God's people will arrive in heavenly places. Yeah. And she said, Willard whispered to me, shouldn't you tell them that they must have you mixed up with someone else? Just like her husband. Shouldn't you tell them that they must have you mixed up with someone else? And I immediately replied, shh, don't say a single word. And in other words, don't speak against the word, right? I knew it was important that he not speak. Well, Will here represents the old man of the bride, right? The old man. Don't let the old man speak, right? We're not to let him speak. Or our confession will destroy what our faith could bring, you know. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, the Bible says. She says, I looked at the agent and smiled, but the agent didn't seem to notice the interruption. And I'm guessing that's because she didn't let the old man speak. Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Yes, because with your tongue, with the heart man believes unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth how you receive everything from God, right? And walking it out with your feet, which is the same thing as confessing it, right? We should not accept and speak words that are against faith. Because we're justified by faith. The agent continued showing me the very official papers, and I believe this represents the word. They are very, very official. With all their seals and lists of extras, which went on and on and on. And that was the end. So, we must not forget that we are all accounted righteous through faith, but the bride is in the process of manifesting righteousness without spot or wrinkle. And the benefits are to sit with the king in the throne of authority like Esther. And that's how you get to heavenly places in Christ, right? So, very, very neat revelation. But let me just say this. The man-child Jesus trained up the early first fruits disciples to raise up the church. They went forth and ordained elders. They went forth and trained the elders. And just like they had been trained, they trained elders in order to raise up the rest of the church. And that was, of course, into the image of Christ. And this is all because the things that have been are the things that shall be. Everything is in order. Everything is according to type and shadow. Jesus, everything Jesus did in his day is coming again. Everything the disciples did in their day is coming again. History just repeats, but it repeats on a larger scale every time until the last time, right? And the church, or the Greek word is ecclesia, means the called out ones. So they were called out of the denominations of apostate Israel to be the church. The church wasn't Israel, as some people say. Israel was a type of the church, but the called out ones. They were called out of the world. Okay, that's one type. Okay. But the other is, of course, that Israel was full of their own denominations. And when Jesus went and preached, he called people out of those to be one with him. They shall be one flock, one shepherd, he said. And he's doing the same thing today. Except we're talking about the church today. In our day, it's the same. They're called out of the denominations of apostate Christianity to be the church, the called out ones. The church is not apostate Christianity. The church is the church, the ones who are called out of apostate Christianity. So, are they going to come out and follow the man-child and the bride? Well, this next timely revelation speaks to this. And it's very good. It was given to Sandy Shaw on September the 23rd, 2019. And Don and Merlene transcribed it for her. And we called it Giving Up the Kids. Mama is giving up the kids. And this is a good thing because she's not a good mama. This dream starts with me, Sandy says, Merlene and Angelica getting into a 9-passenger dark blue SUV. Well, the 9-passenger, I believe, speaks of the 9 fruits of the Spirit, kind of like the last dream. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, which the bride has, and against which there is no law, right? So you're totally in line with the law if you've got these, right? The dark blue, I believe, represents heavenly places, but in the night. You know how the sky is dark blue at night. And of course, night represents things upon the earth, doesn't it? Darkness upon the earth. Yes. Then she says, David, and I believe David is a type of the man-child here, had told us, as a type of the bride, to go to Kentucky to pick up a family and to bring them back. Well, I think back here means something. You know, we've seen plenty of revelations about God's people coming back to their promised land because of the falling away and the rebellion against Christ. They were taken captive to Babylonian Christianity. So this is to go bring them back. So we're called to invite the church and her children, what is known as the church and her children, to come out of Babylonish bondage back to their promised land and into the safety of the refuge through the gospel. Again, I'm using the word church there, in quotation marks, as the way the world uses the church. Okay. Sandy said, I don't know exactly what was going on in the U.S., but we could really feel a divide even more so than now. Yes, I don't believe it's going to turn out to be the terrible civil war that God warned about years ago. This part anyway, at this time. But it is a civil war, and we can see it, can't we? At least it hasn't killed a lot of people yet, but some of that is coming. But I believe God's going to deal swiftly with the deep state, who is the ones that are doing all of this. The deep state will retaliate against the apostate church and their buildings. We have many revelations given about them burning the buildings. Which, in a way, is going to free up many Christians to go and look for truth. And it's going to happen. Earthquakes had started, but nothing major. A curfew had started. That was because of the troubles, right? Everyone had to be in at 10 o'clock. And I believe this means that martial law is coming because of the deep state anarchists bringing judgments on the U.S. and especially the apostate church. You remember Obama wore the all red and black suit along with his whole family, red and black, which are the colors of anarchists, at his ordination. So, and he truly was exactly that, and he's done exactly that. And he preached change, and that's what anarchists do, but they do it by disruption and destruction, right? When we got to the address and knocked on the door, the mother answered. She was upset and frantic. Well, that's because they have no faith. They don't even know what faith is. She hadn't seen her husband for several days. She didn't want to leave until he got back. Well, let me just say, the apostate church is expecting the Lord to come and get them. But their troubles from being rebellious against his word will come instead. Okay. We said, we could wait for a little bit, but we are going to have to leave. And that means for the refuge in the wilderness, as we'll see. So Merlene, Angelica, and I started to clean her house. Oh, that's good. We fed the kids and bathed them, the oldest being 6, and then 5, then 3, then 1.5, and a newborn baby. This represents all walks of Christian age, never having gotten above 6. Which is true about the mother. You don't grow up there. You just don't do it. They're feeding pablum, and you just don't grow up there. So after we bathed them, we got their clothes and put them in bags. Well, this washing from sin and clothing with Christ qualifies them to leave the mother church and escape judgment. Notice. I told the mother, we're going to have to leave. She said, no, my husband is not here. I said, your husband had called David and Michael Hare and said, the Lord said, come and pick them up. Like a prophecy, right? Come and pick the husband. Okay. So our Lord and her true husband wants the bride to invite them to come out of captivity to their Babylonish thinking of the traditions of men and bring them to the refuge. It's the Lord who wants this done. And Sandy went on to say, we were told to do this, and that's why we are here. So you can't say no, because your husband wanted you to come with us. But you know, the Jezebel spirit in the apostate church will not allow them to obey the Lord, who is their real husband. That's true. I said, it's getting late. We need to get on the road. And she said, well, take the kids. I'm going to stay here and wait for him. Well, the church thinks that their husband is their apostate leaders, because they're the ones that have been sowing the humanistic seed in them. But they are just hirelings that leave the flock when the wolf comes, like Jesus said. Notice they had left, right? And the elect kids will get cleaned and clothed and qualified to leave the mother church and come under the bride's leadership. Kind of like in the book of Esther. Kind of like in the book of Revelation, right? We'll talk about that more in just a minute. Merlin said, these babies need you, especially the last two. Yeah, that's the youngest, right? So they're only qualified to lead babies. When they get past teaching that Jesus is the Son of God who saved them, they get right into error. They get any more, any deeper than that, they get into error. Because they only feed milk. They're only qualified to feed milk. Like the old cow I saw on the top of the mountain, right? It was dying, passing away so that the power of God could come through. And that's what the Lord told me. They only eat grass, which is flesh, and feed milk. That's right. And she just stared at Merlin and knew she just couldn't do it. Well, because of Babylonish bondage to the traditions of men, the hierarchy in the so-called church, the worldly church, is the last to come out from among them. They've been trained, and they hold on to that training because it gave them authority. It gave them their position. It gave them their money, everything. They don't turn loose. So the mother then went into a room and came back with some papers. There were birth certificates and a notary paper. She had put each of our names on that paper, giving legal custody and rights of the kids. Well, and so it will be. This is a prophecy, you know, in a dream. So it will be that God will legally, by the word, just as he said he would do in the word, give those who come out from among them the right to enter the true kingdom of God. You see, Babylon is a test. Some make it through and come out the other side, and some don't. But it's a test to see who is a child of God. They will come under God's true authority and leadership. That is, those come-outers, those anointed come-outers. And they will grow up quickly in the kingdom and walk in the steps of Jesus. So Merlin, Angelica, and I were talking. Well, what do we do? We don't feel right about leaving her here, and she's the one not being obedient, and we are told to pick them up and their stuff and leave. And then I said, I don't want to be disobedient. In other words, I'm going. And after that, Angelica said, shall we throw lots? Our question was, Lord, shall we leave now? And we got three heads. So I told the mother again that she was not obedient to her husband or the Lord. She said, just take my babies. So God recently, in fact, just a couple days ago, told Eve that he was going to pour out a plague on the rebellious, and then we would know things are beginning in earnest. Well, the mother apostate church will not escape the judgments. Only those who come out from among them, as God said in Revelation 18 and 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins. So the babies got washed up, the children got washed up, and that you receive not of her plagues. There it is, the plagues. Notice it's only my people who come out of the harlot church and escape the plague. Yeah. So we put them in the vehicle, all in car seats. Merlene sat in the back with the youngest, and Angelica sat up front with me, and we had been driving for a while, still in Kentucky. But I see a sign that said, so many miles to Clarksville, Tennessee. Well, I'll tell you what the Lord gave me here, and this is very interesting. When I was thinking on Clarksville, the meaning came to me. The meaning of Clarksville is Clark's City, and it was in Tennessee. And I believe this speaks of the city of David, Jerusalem, the bride, who will rule like Esther over the true church of the come-outers. See, I have been used by God as a type of the David man child, and my middle name is Clark. And I jokingly tell people that this is short for Clark Kent. But anyway, Clark City, the city of David, right? So before we crossed into Tennessee, I got pulled over. Well, there's a line for some reason between Kentucky and Tennessee here. Before we crossed into Tennessee, I got pulled over. And it was kind of ominous because there were two cars that were completely black. We could only see their lights. And when I pulled over, there was one in back of me and one in front of me. Well, from this description, I would guess that these officers are from the dark side, wouldn't you think? And this was just before crossing into Tennessee to the city of David, right? The two officers in front got out and started going around our vehicle with their flashlights on. Another officer that was in back came to my window, and I rolled it down and I said, "Hello, officer, I'm sorry if I did anything wrong. I'm not aware of it." He didn't say anything and walked in front of the SUV. He came back and asked for my driver's license. And then he asked me, "Whose kids are these?" And I said, "They're mine." So the children of God are given to the bride as in Esther and Psalm 45, 14 through 16. Listen, she, that is the bride in that text, shall be led unto the king in broidered work. Well, there's the first fruits going into the king, into heavenly places, right? The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. That's the children, the younger, not married, right? With gladness and rejoicing shall they be led. They shall enter, because you, when you come into the light, don't you feel that way? When you start getting real light outside of the dead denominational churches, you feel glad and rejoicing, don't you? You feel good. God is showing you something. They shall enter into the king's palace. That is, again, the virgins, right? Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children. Shall be thy children. Instead of thy fathers. You know what our early fathers were? They were the heads over the apostate church. They won't be born of them. They're going to be born of the bride, of the word of the bride. Just like those disciples went out and made disciples out of apostate Judaism and brought them to Jesus, right? Whom thou shalt make princes in all the earth. So the bride is going to be to have these children. They're going to belong to her, just like Sandy said. They're mine. You can't think this stuff up in a dream, folks. He handed me back my license. Remember, you must all be home by 10. Well, this kind of means that we're going to be under martial law, curfew, because the United States is under judgment. And the apostate church will be judged. That's why they were going to get them, to bring them out from under it. But the church itself would not leave. But the come-outers came out and left, right? So God told Eve that he was going to pour out a plague on the rebellious, and then we would know things are beginning in earnest. Mm-hmm. Well, when we drove a couple of minutes, we were in Tennessee. They left those dark card officers and entered into Tennessee, and we were relieved, to be in friendly territory, right? Before this, throughout this dream, we were tense, meaning when they were still in Kentucky, they were tense. And then I woke up. And she said, I received by faith at random, Romans 12 and 10, preferring one another, is where she put her finger. And in context, 9 through 13, so let love be without hypocrisy. Everybody knows that they have to love. Everybody in what we loosely call Christianity knows that they have to love. But their love does not show obedience to Jesus Christ, so therefore they don't love him and they don't love you. Right? It's hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Which is delineated by the word. It tells us what's good. Every man can't do that which is good in his own eyes, right? That was rebellion. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another. In honor, preferring one another. In diligence, not slothful. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, and communicating to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Yes, those are pretty good descriptions of the bride and those who do the work to bring in the captives must have this lowly, humble frame of mind. You know, Jesus had a different opinion of the religious leaders who were in rebellion and were very factious. He talked to them kind of roughly and coarsely, and he judged them. Not so with the ignorant people. You know, he wasn't that way. He was just the opposite. Because these people were responsible. They had the word, and they rejected it. And so it is with the faction in our days. They've got the word, and they rejected it. They're going to be judged harshly. You know, just as Eve said above, a pestilence or a plague is coming to the United States. But those who believe in the Passover are going to be safe. You eat your Passover lamb. He is the Word of God. You eat that Word, you'll be safe. Because if you believe that Word, you'll live above the curse. But if you add to it or take away from it, the curses of this book are going to be upon you. That's what the Bible says. A portion of Unharmed by the Pestilence Snow by Eve Brast. I'm going to share here just a portion of it because this is something that you need to know just before this comes. And you need to remember this. There is salvation from this judgment that's coming. Many are going to be taken away. So please listen to this. I've shortened it quite a bit. The dream started out with me floating in the spirit above the whole scene of the dream. And I believe Eve here is a type of the bride of the last Adam, Jesus. And she is in heavenly places, as you can see, by abiding in Christ, floating above, right? In the spirit. Very interesting. So, she said, I saw myself in the midst of a large crowd of people. there was a smaller group of people immediately around me. We were a separate little circle of people. The inner circle, I believe the inner circle, is of true Christian believers around the bride. These are bearing the fruit of Jesus, but not yet arrived in the bride, right? The configuration of the crowd almost looked like a target from the air. You know what a target looks like, you know, circles inside of circles, right? I, that is Eve, as a type of the bride, at the center, and the small group of people around me being the next ring. And then the rest of the masses being the outer ring. Okay. So the outer ring of unbelievers, I would say including tares, goats, apostate Christianity, and the world. The target of the deep state shadow government, it's a target, right, is primarily Christians because these people are Satanists who hate Christians above all people. And they're communists who hate Christians above all people. And they are factious and full of witchcraft and sacrifice children for power from Satan. And what they don't know is that they are part of this outer circle. And the plague will take many of them down too. Yes, because God is able to do that. Remember, he controlled who died in Egypt. It was very controlled, even to the firstborn of the Egyptians. The firstborn. That's very much control. And God has that whenever plagues like that plague come upon the earth. But these are vessels used of God who wants to judge those in the outer circle who persecute and pollute the bride with their leaven. These are a part of Babylon. They're a part of the dragon in Revelation 12 and do not have the Passover blood on their doorposts to protect them from the plague. Mm-hmm. And, part of these are Pharaoh's army, who will be destroyed by the spiritual Red Sea before the Christians go into their wilderness tribulation, right? We've been expecting this Red Sea. You say, we can see it already, David. Look out there. Yes, it's true. They're rounding them up. They're getting them to Gitmo. They're doing it pretty quietly. Nobody else wants to be the first to say, hey, because then they'll come get them, right? Yeah, they're rounding them up. It's happening. I don't know if anybody's really looked at this. I have. It's happening. It's happening. And they're letting them give all the rope they need to hang themselves. They're not taking them up immediately. They're taking them up as they find out all of their sins from the lower echelons, which they arrest first. It's happening. You need to be praying for it. The small group immediately around me were looking at me for hope and reassurance. And I was dressed in a dark blue top and blue jeans that were given to me by David. This is talking about heavenly, being dressed up heavenly, right? By Jesus Christ, right? So the David Manchild Company dressed the bride in the works and the walk of Jesus, because that's what your dress, your clothes represent. Meaning that doctrine that brings the works of Christ is being taught by the Manchild Davids to the bride. They were desperately clinging to my clothing and looking towards me as their example. Notice that, clinging to her clothing. Yes, they have seen that Jesus in the bride is an example of how to live above the curse, which is mentioned in Deuteronomy 28, and which covers everything detrimental to man. The curse is everything that is detrimental to man. Think about it. It's amazing. I'll share a verse that we got this morning about this a little bit later. Galatians 3:13, of course, says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Remember, there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit, right? But there is a curse of the law upon those that don't have the fruit of the Spirit. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. This is by faith. It's done already by faith. That's how we can escape now, is by grace, through faith, right? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So, God put our curse upon Jesus. Do you believe it? Most of the church does not. They do not. And therefore, they don't come out from under it. They don't think they have authority against it. And they have to go to doctors and things like that, and they take stuff that will kill them anyway, whether they live through the cancer or not. Their treatment will kill you. So, but Jesus did it for free. Jesus healed me of cancer for free many, many years ago. And then heart problems after that. For free. Didn't have to do anything because I knew Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. Because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So there is safety under the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus, right? And they're clinging to Eve, who is a type of the bride's garment. Exodus 12:13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there shall no plague be upon you, no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So remember, according to our type, there was a Passover from a plague before the Israelites went into the wilderness, which is the tribulation. I'll say that again. Remember, according to our type, there was a Passover from a plague which came before the Israelites went into the wilderness, which Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 proclaim to be the 7 years of tribulation. Before. So this thing is coming quickly. And so is the tribulation, of course. Coming quickly. So how do we walk under the Passover blood? Well, 1 John 1:5 says, and this is the message which we have heard from him, and announce unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So his word is light, right? The message, his word is light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There are many liars out there who proclaim to be Christians, but they're not. They have no conscience. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, which is the light of his word, as we saw, we have fellowship one with another. In other words, those that are angry and critical and judgmental and slanderous and so on and so forth, they aren't walking in the light. They have no blood covering. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And if you're cleansed from sin, you're not under the curse. This clothing of faith in the word and the works will save them, and they'll save us. Exodus 15:26 says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's not the voice you hear in your ear when you're in rebellion, that's the devil. Okay. and will do that which is right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, how do you get to obey like that? Repent and believe. That's how you get power from God to obey. Repent and believe. Repent of your rebellion, going your own way, or you will die. Right? It was very dark all around us except for a light that shone down on me from above that got dimmer and dimmer the further away from me that the people were. So the light is more truth. Going towards the center is more and more truth, more and more protection, because they can't hit the bullseye. They're not that good a shot. The further we are from the glory of God, which is the Christ-likeness in the bride, the more of the curse we are susceptible to. The more we add or subtract from the word, the more we are susceptible to the curse. Revelation 22 and 18. I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. Now, you know, we've had quite a few dreams of rebellious people, even rebellious people that we know, being taken out by these plagues. Yep. And if we share these, you know, on the broadcast, we take names out, but we know who it is, and we know who's in danger, and we've even told them. But it don't make any difference. Because they're in rebellion, they don't listen, they don't respect the word. They don't respect dreams. After they fall into faction, they never respect dreams. Never. Because they always come against them. And they won't listen. Of course, in the Bible, they didn't respect the dreams either. They didn't respect the prophecies because these dreams are prophecies. You know, they didn't respect the prophecies. They didn't respect the prophets. Rather than hear the prophets, they killed them. Yes, nothing's changed, folks. Nothing. The things that have been are the things that shall be. And if any shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which is the bride, which are written in this book. So if you don't, if you're going to add to or take away from the word, you're not going to be in the bride. And you're departing from the word, and the plagues will come upon you. And this is basically to cleanse Christianity and to deliver people who are being held in bondage to those who are apostates. And to this also we know that the Lord has shown us and told us that people who are married to apostates, who are holding them back from the truth, that some of these people are going to die to set them free. And across Christianity, the same thing. Leaders of churches who are holding them back from the truth, they're going to be taken out. So what were they afraid of that made them want to be close to the godliness of the bride and cling to her clothing? The plague. Eve said, snow was falling down upon all the people, and as it landed on the faces of the dimmer people, the people in the less light, the less glory of God, they began to fall to the ground dead and dying in agony. Yes, every one of us has an angel. And that angel can keep you from dashing your foot against a stone, Psalm 91 says. They can cover you from the plague, Psalm 91 says, you know. So, if you walk by faith, you're impervious to this. the pestilent snow that the Lord told us would come in, and actually parts one and two of this series here that I'm quoting from. The plague spread from above like many chemtrail planes do. I suspect that's the exact method that this is going to come by. And Eve said, I asked for a word by faith at random concerning the pestilent snow that was falling on the outer masses of people, and received Hosea 7 and 10. And here it is in context. Hosea 7 and 10. And the pride of Israel, representing the church, you know, not the come outers, true come outers, but the one that they call the church. Israel was the same way. The pride of Israel doth testify to his face, yet they have not returned unto the Lord their God, or sought him for all of this. And Ephraim, the northern 10 tribes, right, is like a silly dove without understanding. They call unto Egypt. They go to Assyria. In other words, their faith is always in man who can't save. And when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them, and I will bring them down as the birds of the heavens. So that's a third of the stars of the heavens falling unto the earth, a great falling away, because God rejects them, because they haven't kept their heavenly position by abiding in Christ. And then I was pulled into my body. See, all this was in the spirit, and then she was pulled into her body, and the rest of the dream continued from my perspective inside myself. I was telling the group around me, don't worry, look. And then I lifted up my face towards the heaven and let the snow fall on my face and opened my mouth to allow the snow to fill my mouth. It was a very strange snow to me. It wasn't cold, nor did it melt. Have you ever seen snow like that? I got to tell you, we have seen it here. They have tested it here. We know that they have this. We had snow that was so weird. And this was a couple of years ago when they tested it. We looked at it. We went out, put it under a magnifying glass, and found it wasn't snow at all. But it looked like snow on the ground. But it wasn't snow at all. It was little needles about a quarter inch to maybe, yeah, about a quarter inch long. And they looked hollow. And if you tried to burn them, it wouldn't melt. It just turned black. This was a man-made substance. We saw it. More than a few of us went out and looked it over and said, this is strange stuff. Well, it looked to me like that is something that they plan to use. It wasn't cold, nor did it melt upon coming in contact with the warmth of my mouth. Now, the first stuff they had, of course, if it had any plague on it, we did not know, because it did not touch us. But I suspect it didn't. They just testing out their method, right? Couldn't melt it with a match. And there wasn't any flakes. Very interesting. Yep. I mean, everybody here who looked it over will tell you the same thing. It was a man-made substance. After they did that, they came up with a name for that kind of snow. Yeah, of course. Yes, they did. I remember that. So, this is this and that. You know, well, it is a man-made snow. Okay. I don't know what they mixed together up there to make it do that, but it was very strange. So I asked for a word, Eve said, by faith at random, concerning myself in the dream, opening my mouth and the snow being like manna instead of the curse and judgment. And my finger was on Isaiah 60 and 1. For thy light has come. So I'll give it to you in context here. Well, notice that a light shined on the bride. For she said, a light that shone down on me from above. And so this is a confirmation, a powerful confirmation. By faith at random. Can you imagine, right? Isaiah 60 and 1. And I will read through about 5, okay? Arise and shine, for thy light is come. For the glory of the Lord, there it is again, is risen upon thee. How accurate can you get about this dream here? Of course, he's speaking to the bride here in the context. He's speaking to Zion, Jerusalem, the bride. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the peoples. Remember the darkness of the officers, you know. But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And that's exactly what they were seeing upon the bride and gathering around to hold to her clothes, right? Then the nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Yeah, when you see that some people are impervious to the plague, you kind of want to know what they got, right? Notice that the righteous from among the nations clung to the bride, as in the revelation above. They clung to her who was in the light of the glory of God for their safety. Verse 4, lift up thine eyes round about and see, they all gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. So the people decide at a point in time when judgment has come, that they need to be around the bride. Okay. Then thou shalt see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea, which is humanity, as we know from the book of Revelation, shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. So, what is the abundance of the sea that comes to the bride? It is the peoples of the world with their riches, spiritual and physical, right? Revelation 17 and 15 says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So that's what the waters represent here. Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Eve said, the snow had a fluffy texture to it, and I chewed it and swallowed it. Well, this is how faith in the promises save us. If you lose faith, you lose the Passover. Beware lest your conscience is defiled by willful sin, because you will not have faith. 1 John 3 and 21 says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. So you have to have a clean conscience when you're going under judgment. This is what's going to save you. You can have faith with a clean conscience. You can't if you don't. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things which are pleasing in his sight. So if you want your prayers heard, be obedient. You'll have a good conscience, and you'll have faith, and you'll receive what you ask. Beware of willful disobedience, or you will not be under the blood. Hebrews 10:26-27 says, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain, fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. And there are many adversaries out there. Many. And they call themselves Christians. But they're adversaries to God and to anybody who's holy. They walk in willful disobedience and think that they're covered by the blood. But there's no more sacrifice for sins. The snow reminded me of what I'd always imagined the manna from heaven was like to the Israelites. That's strange. Why is it death to some, but life to others? Because it represents the Word. And Jesus said, He was the manna. He is the Word made of flesh, right? Made flesh. The Word is life to those who believe, and it's a curse of death to those who don't. Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death, and blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life, that thou mayest live, thou and thy seed. And also I remind you that life and death are in the power of the tongue. In other words, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Right. She said, only this had no taste at all and was completely harmless to me. I felt no threat whatsoever. The people around me were amazed that I wasn't harmed. Like the people in the outer circle were. This gave them hope and courage that they too could survive the judgment. And then I woke up. Well, you can imagine, how is God going to turn people toward the bride and away from the harlot? The false leadership, which they've been captivated for so many years. Well, this sounds pretty interesting. I mean, again, you can't make this stuff up when you're sound asleep. You know, this is astounding. And it's true. So I asked for a word by faith at random for this dream, and I received Proverbs 31. And in context, 8-31. And she said, these are all the qualities of those who are in the bride, which Father is using me to represent in the dream. These are also her works or garments, by the way, you know. And she said, I think it's interesting that verse 8 begins, open thy mouth, and I'll begin the quote from there. Proverbs 31:8. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are left desolate. So the bride was able to help the people the next ring out, but the outer ring got no help. So the bride will speak for the true people of God who are in covenant with Him, just like it was in Esther and in Song of Solomon. Verse 9, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and minister justice to the poor and needy. A worthy woman, who can find? For her price is far above rubies. Yeah. The bride is mature and beautiful to the Lord. Her husband and the much larger church is not. Song of Solomon 6 and 8 says there are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number, but my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. Amen. And where did we all come from? We all came out of the apostate church. But there is a choice that God made, and it's for the bride. The heart of her husband, that would be Jesus, trusteth in her. He shall have no lack of gain. That's because she bears much fruit for him. And verse 12, she doeth him good and not evil all the days of her life. And verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her bread from afar, even from the Old Testament. Yeah. Well, she works with wool and flax. She makes garments, right? And, of course, that's what we should be doing, is making the garments of Christ, putting on Christ, and putting on Christ for our neighbors and things like that. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth food to her household and their task to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. You know, Jesus said the field is the world, which she will inherit, by the way. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. That's the Lord's vineyard, right? She girdeth her loins with strength, maketh strong her arms. Her strength is the arm of the Lord, right? She perceiveth that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. So there she is, still making clothes for the children, right? The children of God. And these represent the righteous works of Christ, right? She stretcheth her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. In other words, to build them up through the gospel. She is not afraid of the snow. Oh, goodness. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. All right. She eats pestilent snow for breakfast, right? She maketh herself carpets of tapestry. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She's clothed in righteous acts of the saints. And purple is royalty, because she's dressed up of the king, right? 23, her husband, who is Jesus, the husband of the bride, is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh linen garments and selleth them, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. In other words, she is dressed up with the works of Jesus. And she laugheth at the time to come. In other words, she has no fear of the future curse. And that's because she obeys her conscience. And she has faith in the Word of God. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. She loves the brethren, in other words. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. So she pleases her husband and teaches her children and clothes them, and she works hard at this work. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her, saying, many daughters have done worthily, but thou excellest them all. And that's just like the bride in Esther and Song of Solomon, excelled above the rest of God's people to be chosen, right? Grace is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She is humble to the word because she fears the Lord. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Yep, because she bears the fruit of her husband Jesus, right? And this reminded us, this curse falling upon the worldly and the worldly church, this reminded us of a verse we got today. Barry got this. Barry Weeks. Today, 9/29/19, Zechariah 5, 1 through 4. Then again I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole land. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off. Now, I told you that there are a lot of thieves among the people of God. This happens in many ways. Some of them steal the truth from you. And some of them steal from you, like the faction do. They're constantly stealing. And it says here, the curse that's over the whole land is going to come on everyone that stealeth, and they shall be cut off the one side according to it. And everyone that sweareth, and this sweareth falsely, shall be cut off on the other side according to it. Well, they do that. The slanderers do just exactly that. I want to tell you, in our dreams, God's going to bring heavy judgment upon the faction. And I will cause it to go forth, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. Have you noticed these people, these Democrats, demon-possessed people, that are accusing President Trump and anybody that's for him with every lie they can imagine, and they like to quote some person that they can't tell you their name. What is this craziness? Everybody is guiltless until proven guilty, and you shouldn't say anything that you can't prove. They don't need to prove anything. They can squeeze out of something that is totally innocuous the most stupid accusations you can possibly come up with. They're liars and slanderers, and that's swearing falsely by his name. And it shall abide in the midst of this house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Amen. And another one we got that we thought was pretty much down the same line was Deb's word, Isaiah 23:10-11. Pass through thy land as the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no restraint any more, It's so true. These people, they think that you'll believe anything. They're not restrained in doing anything, breaking any law, lying about anything. No restraint anymore. Like this text says, He has stretched out His hand over the sea. Again, we know the sea is the peoples, tribes, and tongues. He has shaken the kingdoms. The Lord hath given commandment concerning Canaan. That's the old man of the land, right? To destroy the strongholds thereof. And I put a note here earlier today when we got this. The fall of apostate Christianity by the deep state, and then they fall. That's the note that came to me, and I put that next to it. So, what we're seeing is that God, even though He's given much, much grace by mighty miracles to cleanse this evil leadership over America, and to cleanse His people from the factious people, and as we can see, He's going to continue to cleanse the apostate church because they're not living under the blood. And all of this is to purify. At this particular time, the only ark we have is Jesus Christ. And abiding in Him is the only way of safety. And there's nothing that can save a person other than faith in what we know about what Jesus has done. And that is, He became accursed for us so that we could have Abraham's blessings. He bore our stripes, which we deserved, so that we could be healed. It's already done. We have a Passover lamb. If you devour these promises and they become part of you, then you will escape this thing. I mean, there are people that can quote the word, but they don't know it, and it's not a part of them. They don't act on it. They quote it, but they don't act on it. They don't have a conscience. So, there is a way of safety coming. This is talking about it. I'll just remind you, the whole text, by the way, unharmed by the pestilent snow by Eve Brast. So, if you go back and read all of that, I give a lot more. I think that will help people to walk by faith in the Lord. You know, don't ever forget that you're justified by faith. If your heart is against some sin, like Paul in Romans chapter 7, the good that I would do, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. Who shall deliver me? And then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. His heart was against his sin. And since his heart was against his sin, he says, no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. So what does a person whose very nature is sin, how can they be delivered of the power of their own nature? Except through faith, right? I thank God through Jesus Christ. And faith will remove from you the sin nature. The gospel is the power of God unto everyone that believes. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. If you believe the good news that Jesus took away your sins and you don't walk by sight, but you walk by faith, you'll have it. And even before you manifest it, you are accounted righteous by your faith. Remember that. Never give up justification by faith. The devil will condemn you for things you don't want and don't like. Read Romans 7. That's where Paul was. He didn't want it. He didn't like it. But it was still there. And he came to the revelation in chapter 8 of there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Yes. So the devil comes to condemn you for things that you don't want and you don't like. Don't accept it. Don't panic. Remember, you're justified by faith. Keep holding to your faith. Hold fast the confession of your faith that wavers not, for he is faithful that promised. Hold fast. Remember, faith is the substance of a thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. You're believing for something that you don't yet see, and God calls you righteous while you're believing for it. Even though you still have the problem, he calls you righteous. Righteousness is imputed to those who have faith in Jesus Christ. So when the plague comes, just remember, if you're not perfect manifestly, don't worry about it. Just repent of your sins. Confess your sins. Because he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You can't beat this deal. That's why it's called the good news, right? So confess your sins. If you've wronged anyone, make it straight with them if you have time, you know, if you can. But confess your sins to God and get his forgiveness. And then walk by faith. And you'll be eating the snow too. So, you know, faith without works is dead. When you really believe something, you act on it. That's the secret. That's how people get miracles. There are some people say, I believe Jesus healed me, but I'm still going to the doctor. Or I'm still, you know, and maybe you're in the process of less and less of man and more of him. And that's good. That's good. So remember, your actions prove whether you actually believe that by whose stripes you were healed and that he took away your sins. Your actions believe that. If you panic when the devil points you towards your sins that you don't like and you don't want, you're not walking by faith. You're justified by faith. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, so you get in Christ first by faith. And then as you walk in that faith, you're more and more in him by manifestation, meaning you're obeying his word. But the obedience is a gift from God. It's not our works. It's a gift from God. It comes through faith. So God can honor you and bless you with this gift of faith. Okay. So just walk in the light that you have, and wherever you're failing God, which is covered by the blood, failing is covered by the blood. Willful disobedience is not. Okay, so if you're failing God, but you want to do good, like Paul in Romans 7, just walk by faith. There is no condemnation. Why does the devil bring condemnation? So he can take away your faith, so he can take away your ability to be an overcomer. Remember what 1 John said, 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things which are pleasing in his sight. Well, faith is accounted as righteousness even before you walk righteous or do righteous. Faith is accounted as righteousness. God accepts that. It's the substance of the thing hoped for. You got faith, you got the substance of the thing hoped for, even while the evidence is not seen. So, how does God build what we want? You got to give him the bricks. It's the substance, right? He builds the house, but you give him the faith. So hold fast to your faith. Even if it's a mustard seed, even if it's a mustard seed of faith, it will be enough. That's what Jesus said. The thing is, you have to hold to it. So, yes, there are, I mean, we know that the chemtrails have been spraying plagues from the very beginning. And people die, but they call it pneumonia, or they call it something else. How whole wards of hospitals get filled up with pneumonia patients is beyond me. No, that's stupid. And it just happens to be when they've heavily sprayed you, you know. So, yes, they're doing it, but this is nothing like what they're planning to do. And especially because the deep state is backed into a corner right now. They're losing their money. They're losing their treasury. They've already got the money that comes into the government going to a whole different place whatsoever. They have to make a war so that they can make money, because that's the way they've made money, sacrificing people. They're Satanists. So they're backed into a corner, and they're hurting. The dollar's crashing, and along with it, their economy that they've embedded themselves in so that they can take the cream off the crop, right? So it's going down. Now, I know that the Patriots have another economy waiting at this time. It's coming to fruition at this time, and they're infusing money into the market. It's not the money that's backed and skimmed by the deep state. So they're losing money. And the Patriots, as they call themselves, are gaining in power all the time. And I believe that they will ultimately defeat the deep state. But the deep state is angry, and it's come to a place. They've tried many things, and all of them have failed. And all of them will fail. Even this attack will ultimately fail. And they will go out and round them up while it is the best time to round them up, which is martial law. The best time to round them up. So they will round them up, and they will take them down, and they will take out their anarchist government and their anarchist people that are out there fighting for communism. Just say the truth. They will take them down. They will win. And then we'll have a short period of rest, I would say, or some semblance of peace, so that the church may be put together before the middle of the tribulation, in which everything's going to be turned back around. And that's God's doing. Because remember, the bride and the man-child have come to Jesus before the tribulation period and been tested. And remember that the bride's job is to bring in the rest of the church, right? And when does that happen? That happens during the tribulation period. And so bringing in the church and bringing it to the place where it is the church, as according to the pattern of Scripture, this will be happening during the first 3.5 years. And then the beast will make war on these new saints who will also be tested, you see. Everybody's going to have tribulation. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. Now the wicked are tribulating the man, child, and bride. Then the wicked will be tribulating the church. God uses apostate people of God to do the tribulating, just as he used Judas and Athaliah. You know, a type of the harlot, right? So God's got this plan, and he hasn't changed anything. He's just bringing it all to fruition once again. So we just need to be patient and watch him do his wonderful work, which is bringing people into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Such a wonderful thing. Because once you're in dominion, the devil can do nothing. He can't conquer you. He can't do anything. But you need that dominion. And that dominion is in heavenly places. It is caught up to the throne of God. Remember when Mordecai, the man child, and Esther, the queen, went to the king. They went to the throne of God. And he took off his ring of authority off of Haman, the beast, which he had given authority to persecute and kill the people of God. Aha! He took it off of Haman and he put it on Mordecai. The ring of authority. The authority is all being turned around. When the dragon could not devour the man-child, and he was caught up to the throne, then that throne represents, you know, him ruling from the throne of God. Not physically being off of the earth. It doesn't mean that. It means the dominion and the authority, like Mordecai received and Esther the bride received over the earthly wicked people and to defend the people of God. Read the book of Esther. It's a prophecy. It's all going to come to pass. So this dominion is about to be turned around. But God needs Haman. He needs the beast to pressure the people because they're too lazy and too self-absorbed to do this on their own. There's got to be a threat or they won't run for safety. And there is only one safety, and that's abiding in Jesus Christ with the bride, by the way. So the people of God, you say, why can't we do without this? It just won't happen. The carnal nature will talk you out of following Christ. And yet when there's a threat, oh, suddenly it's jailhouse religion, you know. Yeah. In other words, we can't do what we wanted to do, so we better serve the Lord. Yeah. But God is faithful, and he is going to save and deliver his people through all of these things. Remember that Babylon conquered the apostate people of God. They did it with several methods. One of them was pestilence. One of them was fire. I expect that they will burn churches and institutions and even rich preachers, houses, and things like that. One of them is with fire, and one of them is with starvation, because they have been consistently destroying crops across the nation. They've destroyed the breadbasket over there quite a bit. And everybody knows that we're headed towards a big problem here. And so, and the sword. And of course, they have the Antifa and other crazies out there ready to kill people. The ISIS people out there ready to kill people. There will be a time that these people will feel like they've got some sort of protection because of the anarchy that's going on, that they will go out and do such things. So remember those three methods, and those three are the ones we're seeing and going to see in a much greater way. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that all of those who are under the sound of my voice here and that believe and understand that history does repeat, and that we're dealing with an evil Babylonish entity here, and that the things that have been are the things that shall be, that they know and understand that they need to be close to you. They need to be standing in that glory. They need to be close to the bride, if not in the bride. They need to be close to the bride and the man-child, if not in the bride or the man-child. And we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, according to this parable that you have given unto us, that you would do that for those who believe in you and those who are willing to lose their life in order to gain their life. Lord, you made it a condition. Now, I know some people say it's unconditional, but you said there was a condition, and the condition is if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. And that's your disciples. So Lord, we lose our life by obeying your word, because then that's your life. And Lord, not everybody's willing to obey your word. And unless they have other people around them that do it, they just won't do it anyway, because they're more interested in pleasing men than they are God. So Lord, we ask you to give your people a conscience to obey you, to read that book as though they've never read it before, and as though nobody ever told them what it said. So they got no pre-existent ideas about the word. Instead, they go in there and get it from you, straight from you. And Lord, we ask you to speak to your people, to deliver them from this evil which is upon this world right now. There is rebellion out there. These anarchists don't have to prove anything. They say the biggest lies out there, and they know that the mainstream media is going to back them up. And so there's no big, calling to justice here, except by the more quiet people, the people of God and the conservatives. And so they just say the most craziest things out there, and they're demon possessed. They've got faction and witchcraft and slander in them. And that's also in the church, and it's going on. And Lord, who could have thought? Nobody, in the right mind would have thought this would happen. And yet people don't see the miracle. The miracle is God's. He said he was going to separate the tares from the wheat and bundle them in bundles to burn them. And he is doing it. And who could have thought that this supernatural action, both from the princes of power and darkness and from heavenly places, are in effect to bring this to pass. And it's amazing. It's just totally amazing. And after we went through years of the faction attacking us in order to separate the wheat from the tares, we were amazed to see it start happening in the government. And we knew that we had been trained to see what these demons were and what their job was. We learned so much through this thing. Thank you, Father, for the exercises that we've gone through, because we know that the church is about to go through them, and they will need this wisdom. They will need this understanding. They will need to know how to pray against the forces of darkness and against the spirits of lies and witchcraft and faction and slander and hatred. And murder, yes, murder. And Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would, like you have prepared us to share with the people that a cross is necessary. A cross is what brings us into the likeness of Christ. And there has to be wicked people to put you on the cross. And they are, in a way, your greatest friends, because they are sacrificing their eternal life in order to put you on a cross. And yet that's what brings you into your eternal life. So, Father, we ask that your people understand your plan. It is so contrary to the traditions of men that they've been taught, They don't realize that you are in control over the vessels of honor and over the vessels of dishonor. And the only one we have to please in order to have our enemies to be at peace is you. So, Lord, this is the only safety, is abiding in Jesus Christ, which is obedience to you. We thank you for this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for working mightily, mightily on behalf of your people and saving many, just like Eve's revelation here about the ring of people that was outside of her and how they were saved and encouraged by the words of the bride. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we have a Passover lamb. And he's already been sacrificed, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're not to partake of the leavened bread, but of the unleavened bread of the Passover, so that we can have a Passover of the curse on this world that's coming. We thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, saints, thanks for joining us today. The Lord bless you and keep you. Be full of faith. Study the Word. Get it in your heart. Turn from any sin whatsoever. You and your children and your friends and your husband and wife or whatever, they need you to be Jesus. You be the Jesus that they have around them, okay? Amen. All right. God bless you. Good night.